Whatever, Dave.
Whatever, Dave.
Whatever, Dave.
Okay, say yeah, Dave.
Whatever.
Whatever, Dave.
It's the Whatever, Dave Radio Network, wherever fine podcasts are ignored.
Still getting used to this new music, our new theme.
Oh, I love it.
Whatever, Dave.
I love it.
Whatever, Dave. Dave has started the show the exact same way the last 3 weeks.
No, I have not. That was different.
Well, there's a new show.
Oh, some new music going on here.
I said I'm getting used to the new music.
Where am I?
Right. Okay. Ooh,
I don't know where I am.
So a little programming note, a couple programming notes.
Whatever,
number one,
Dave.
Number one, Dave, the music is different, okay?
Yeah.
You'll get used to it.
I know it's different.
That's true.
Number two, I think we're going to have the audio issues under control. So to all our P1s, Paul, Kevin, Annie, Ron.
Danielle.
My Aunt Lois. If you hear our audio being weird, let us know.
Aunt Lois is cool.
Yeah, I do like the Aunt Lois. And number three, this is something we're all going to have to come together and agree on as a show. Is Rich the sex appeal of the show?
Wow.
It used to be Dave.
Wow.
But I think it might be Rich.
It's migrated to me.
Well, I sold it as Dave being the sex appeal of the show to the suits upstairs. Mm-hmm. I came in and I pitched lifelong bachelor in his mid-60s, tells us about his dating misadventures. And
right.
Dave, to be honest, you haven't delivered on
that
yet.
That's how you got the green light.
Yeah.
And then Dave hasn't delivered on it.
So I think maybe it should go to Rich.
Oh, well.
Because it seems like he's getting a little momentum on social media. Anytime he goes to the Panera Bread, he gets a free drink.
That's true.
So, Dave, I don't know. If you vote yay, I would make it unanimous that Rich is now the sex appeal of whatever, Dave.
Fine with me.
Wow.
Rich looking very distinguished this evening.
Oh, thank you.
Please tell us the reason for the eyewear this evening.
Dave, how could you ask him that?
You know how sensitive I am.
You know how self-conscious Richard is.
Yeah.
Eye patch.
If he's going to be the sex appeal of the show, people need to know.
You don't think the eye patch is sexy?
It's very nice. Was that the reason for this?
Yeah, I think it's kind of hot.
For those who can't see us, Rich has an eye patch on.
Yeah.
Which we specifically were told not to address, and now here's
Dave. He never said not to address it.
Addressing it in the very beginning of the show.
He didn't say not to address it.
How dare he?
I think, he said, you're an adult, you can ask what you want.
That is true.
You were setting him up for disaster.
Now, if you don't want to answer why, if you had a procedure done.
It's genetic, okay, Dave?
If you've got a lazy eye.
I was born with the eye patch. If you've got an
infection.
How long have you known Rich? You've never noticed he's had an eye patch until now?
I've never noticed I've had an eye patch, Dave.
Because you spent all your time looking at his chest and not at his face.
You know, I'm a person, Dave. I'm not just a piece of meat to be looked at and
although he is a sex appeal
slobbered over.
Yeah.
Well, if you are WJR's most sexiest man, that's why you're the sex appeal of the show. Then,
uh-huh. Well, just of whatever.
People
Dave.
Are going to want to know what's going on. The people might be concerned.
I think so. Were you concerned? That's all I want.
Of course, I'm concerned if it's something serious. If it's just a gimmick, then
he's got you pegged, Rick.
How dare you? He's got you pegged.
It's just a gimmick.
All right, let's let Dave off the hook.
Yeah.
Let's let Dave off the hook. Rich is wearing it for a laugh.
Yes, wearing the eye patch for a laugh.
Right. I did set Dave up though. I said, "Go ahead and ask Gary the podcast."
It was really sweet of him though to hear him, talk about how do you have an ocular impairment?
Yes, we don't want a member of the team to be ill.
No, right, especially because
Michael's battling allergies.
Right,
tonight.
I know.
Can I take this damn thing off now?
Yeah, I'd prefer. It's kind of give me the creeps.
You're battling an eye impairment.
I thought I looked kind of cool with
it. Honestly, looking at that patch has been grossing me out, man. all right. Well,
I thought it was cool.
I did, too. You look like there's some guy on some soap opera that my mom used to like that wore an eye patch.
He's still doing it.
Yeah, it made me feel like a child again.
Oh, it feels so good to see with both eyes now.
Yeah.
Man. I hurt my eye earlier today.
You want to borrow Rich's eye patch?
Yeah, I might need to borrow it.
Okay.
I hope there's no pink eye on that
patch. I was playing golf and driving underneath a pine tree.
Sports related injury.
One of the pines hit me in the face. So.
Oh my God. So you might actually need an eye patch.
Yeah.
Are you all right?
I'm all right, but I might need, so hold on to that. I might need to borrow it.
You don't see stars or anything or like.
No. Well, I do see a star and a star here.
Oh,
yes,
thank
course.
You, Dave. Yes. You are such
this
a charmer.
Guy, this yes. guy, I tell
my
you.
My pleasant personality.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Okay.
All right. So we're about to get to Dave's stack of frivolous stuff here, but before we proceed, I would like to heal and unite a nation here. Mm. And normally, I don't like to talk about things this serious on the show, but you literally cannot turn on the news without seeing reports of that leaked Supreme Court document that suggests that they may overturn Roe versus Wade. And the reaction to it, I've actually been quite pleasantly surprised at the reaction to it because, you know, my whole life it's been one of the most divisive issues in politics. And based on the polling, based on the phone calls we've been receiving here at the station, although it seems like the politicians like to govern from the fringes, to me it seems like most people live in the nuanced middle. You know, you got a lot of pro-life people willing to make exceptions for the health of the mother, willing to make exceptions for rape, willing to make exceptions for a fetus that dies in the womb and if the mother doesn't want to carry that fetus to term. And there's a lot of pro-choice people who seem like they're open to limits as to when you can and cannot have an abortion. And to be honest, I've been pleasantly surprised at the appetite for compromise on this.
Hmm.
And I would just like to say to our elected officials, if Roe versus Wade is in fact overturned, it's gonna fall on the state legislatures to
correct
to make up the rules of it being legal or illegal. Pay attention to your constituents. See that people seem like they're willing to have a sane, nuanced, rational discussion about it. And don't use this to kick the beehive for political expediency. I know they're not going to listen to me, but just let me ramble. And fundraising. Because, like I said, I think that this issue is a tough issue for everyone, especially me as a man. I have a really hard time talking about it. But it seems like most people are not binary on this. Most people, there's kind of a gray area on this. And, you know, if these state lawmakers let it become politically divisive for their own political gains, it's going to be a bad time.
I would agree with that. And I'm happy that so far, things seem to be civil around this neck of the woods, anyway.
Yeah.
And that's all I ask for is civility.
I have one question.
Okay, Dave.
Have they decided, has anybody ever decided actually when a fetus becomes a
viable
entity?
Well, it seems like right now the number that's out there is 15 weeks. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what makes a fetus viable. To me, that seems like one of the bigger sticking points of this mm-hmm. issue. So my answer to you, Dave, is I don't know.
Okay. So, until that is decided, I will stick with my feelings on the subject, and that is pro-choice is
cool, Dave.
That's what it is.
Well, this is exactly what I didn't want to do.
I understand.
Get into a debate about pro-choice
right.
or pro-life.
Right, I understand, but I'm just stating my feeling on it based on the fact that, and I understand the pro-life people too.
Yeah.
But until there is a, designated,
Great. Okay. Thanks, Dave, for taking my plan and tearing it all up. Let's get into your stack of stuff. Unless, Richard, you'd like to say something before we move on.
No, I'm perfectly fine. Thank you.
Got it. Okay, Dave.
And I apologize for derailing, but...
No, you're not. Sorry.
You're right, I'm not.
Okay. You're part of the show.
And you, yes. I'm an adult. I can ask a question. Right.
You're
Rich?
The name that's yeah, in the right. show. The show's named after
yes,
you.
Yes, it is. All right. First story to follow. Let's a little bit go back to what, you know, this show is, you know, the podcast is really about.
What?
You know,
what?
So we're not too far off the rails.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has announced
Dave,
its 2022 inductees.
See, Dave, see how awkward you've made this
Dave,
now?
Yeah.
This is exactly why.
Well,
this is exactly why I said we don't have to give our thoughts on abortion.
That's okay.
I just
that's
wanted okay. to touch on something that I that's thought was right. kind of uplifting. And then you do exactly what I told you not to do.
But in a way, it is what whatever Dave is really about.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's hear about the Rock and Roll Hall
of Fame. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has officially announced it's this year's inductees in the performers category. Eminem, Dolly Parton, Duran Duran,
no way!
Lionel Richie, Pat Benatar, The Arrhythmics, and Carly Simon. The pushback for some of this
right,
is
I know.
Why
they're
are
not rock musicians.
Exactly.
People need to stop getting so hung up on the name Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They screwed up naming it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It should just be the Music Hall of Fame.
Oh.
And if you go by those parameters, that's a pretty good class.
Music Hall of Fame.
Yeah. The fact that they called it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is really stupid, because I don't even think the first class was all, quote unquote, rock music. I think it has been a diverse group of people since the beginning. So when you go by that, Dolly Parton absolutely belongs in there. Same thing with Eminem. I would say with all the acts on that list.
Yeah, for sure, 100%. I think that you're 100% right. They probably should call it the Music Hall of Fame instead of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
What would you guys, how would you folks distinguish between pop music and pure rock and roll music?
I wouldn't be able to. That's
I wouldn't
what,
be able to either.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Dave and I had that weird debate a little while ago about whether Green Day was a rock band or whatnot. I can't. So that's why I say call it the Music Hall of Fame. I guess, I mean, yeah, you look at Dolly Parton and she's not rock music because she's not, well, I don't know, her band has guitars.
See, if you look at the history of it, what doesn't have a drum kit with
right.
a steady 4/4 beat, electric guitars, and a vocalist?
I was going to say, to be a rock band, you have to have a guitar, drum, bass, but country
yeah.
music does.
Yeah.
Rap music, I guess, doesn't, but
punk music does.
Right. So that's why I think they screwed up naming it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and not the Music Hall of Fame.
Mm.
You know, I would agree with you, because country music isn't even traditional country music anymore. It's kind
yeah,
of
even
like
country music. Yeah. How do you call that? Country
yeah, it's
stuff.
Kind of mixed with mainstream, where
right.
you have artists going in and out of the different genres and combining it. So
I think it used to be country western.
Right, so I would agree
called.
With you that they should probably rename it. And any of those acts are obviously should be put in there.
See, what a You're power right move there. Dolly Parton pulled, by the way.
Yeah.
Saying that she's like, I don't want to be in you don't have to put me in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Didn't she change at the last second,
well,
though?
Well, she did, because yeah. I think she felt it might have been rude to not accept. But
right.
I love her.
She's the national treasure.
Richard!
Oh, Richard, you want to go visit Dollywood?
I wouldn't be diametrically opposed to visiting Dollywood.
Next topic!
I think you'd have a lot of fun.
Because
I think
Dave was segueing into this anyway.
Yeah, so speaking of country music, we head down to Alabama for this next story.
Oh, yeah?
Thank you for always telling us what state these
yes.
things happen in.
Rich honeymoon in Alabama.
Rich wants to know.
Yeah.
So Alabama police have issued an arrest warrant for a woman caught on camera riding
Uh-oh.
A stolen lawnmower and pulling a trailer with other stolen items, including a University of Alabama yard sign.
Wow.
Cool.
Now, as Rich always likes to see the picture of the lady, there she is.
You brought a
Your
visual
audio.
Aid.
So okay. wait, was this woman an Alabama fan stealing another fan sign, or is she an Auburn fan punking her rival
and
fanhood?
That is a great question. Like, why did they specifically say that it was a bunch of other stolen items and a University of Alabama yard sign?
Right.
you know.
Could you imagine the police trying to chase this woman? Like, the slowest speed chase. She's sitting there on her little riding lawnmower, and they're just walking briskly behind her.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently there have been multiple burglaries over the past 2 weeks in this area, and this lady is maybe wanted for several of these burglaries.
She just crates them around.
I was going to say, if I had to pick a vehicle to use for robberies, lawnmower would be the absolute worst because it's slow and it's loud. So it's not like you can sneak away before people can catch you. You're literally driving around.
Let me see that picture again, Dave.
Here it is. I mean, she's looked like she's moving at a fast
pace. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. She completes me. I mean, love her.
And it also looks like she's wearing a mask, so she's staying safe for COVID, too.
That's good. So,
well, she might get allergies.
I mean, right. This is a...
Are police having a hard time finding this lawnmower bandit?
No, they've identified her, and in fact...
Can they catch her?
I would feel
like you would only need a child's bicycle to catch up with her.
These are all the people that are... How does this woman
keep getting away?
I don't know. I mean, it's all very interesting to me that...
Everything about it.
You know, and that the fact that they have... warrants for third-degree burglary, fourth-degree property theft. So what exactly do you think that you get for fourth-degree property theft of an Alabama yard sign?
I don't know.
The chair?
Maybe she has to wear an Auburn jersey for all of football season. I don't know. Alabama is a lawless land as far as I can tell.
Well, I'm going to make sure that I follow up on this story to see where it goes.
Please do. It's better than them Lego stories.
Oh, first God.
First of all, a Lego story will be coming as soon as one that's worthy. I mean, there was one, but I'm always afraid that
that'll be the last episode of this podcast.
I'm always afraid that Michael will exit from the rundown.
The premises,
so.
You're right. You're right to be afraid of that.
Yeah. Mm. So
next topic.
All right, we head to Maine for this story. Ooh. So we go from Alabama.
Spent
we go
my
to Maine.
29th honeymoon there in Maine.
Richard gets around. That's why he's a sex appeal of the show.
Thank you.
It says here
my voice is changing like I'm becoming a man.
A drunken Maine man arrested after trying to hide from police under a blanket.
What's newsworthy about that?
Well, they said that this
local
was, this
idiot
was,
hides from police.
They said that this was from an episode of Scooby-Doo. Is there an episode of Scooby-Doo where they tried to hide under a blanket?
I would imagine there would be plenty.
Here's the picture of the guy on the porch hiding, trying to hide from the police.
Dave, you really need to give us more more information on this.
So it says
pretty
here,
good with what I've heard.
An intoxicated man was arrested for trespassing early Monday after trying to hide from police underneath a blanket, authorities said. They responded about 9:30 p.m. to the Admiral Ocean Inn in Belfast, Maine, to report a disturbance caused by a drunken man identified as Philip Delude.
Hmm.
And they removed him from the property and told him not to return, otherwise, or he'd be arrested.
Hmm.
Why was he hiding from them to begin with? What law did he originally break?
I don't know, because you see he's got a bag here of beverages, and then he's like hiding under the blanket trying to just sit there.
Yeah, this man's cool.
Like that nobody was going to know.
This man sounds like a child desperate for attention.
Yeah, I enjoy him.
It says here that they found him hiding in a chair with a blanket draped over, and the police pulled the blanket off to reveal that he was hiding underneath it.
Oh, that's the Scooby-Doo tie-in, like,
right? Exactly.
Let's find out who this really is. Yeah, I get it.
If it was a true Scooby-Doo tie-in, he would be like dressed up like the ghost of the groundskeeper or whatever.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it says here he was arrested for criminal trespassing and violation of bail conditions.
There you go.
So this guy already was in trouble for something else.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. Because hiding, being drunk and hiding under a sheet, I don't know the laws of Maine, but as far as I know, that would not be illegal in most states. Next topic.
I can't remember, but I think I remember you saying that you're a fan of Taylor Swift.
I'm a Swiftie by proxy, so I guess the short answer is yes.
Well, according to this story from NPR, Taylor Swift was the inspiration for the name of a new millipede species.
Wow, fascinating. Aww.
So there's a new millipede species that called Nonaria swiftae.
Whoa!
Or
who's got Nonaria?
The swift twisted claw millipede.
This story has everything. Number one, I've been dying for a new millipede, and it's about time someone named one after Taylor Swift.
Yes. Apparently, Researchers have identified 17 new species of the twisted claw millipedes from Appalachia.
Appalachia,
Dave.
Or Appalachia.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know, tomato, tomato.
You're trying, and that's important.
Yes. So researchers determined that the arthropod name for Swift was
arthropod.
A unique species because of the millipede's genetics and special legs.
Did it say why they named it after Taylor Swift?
Because of the special legs.
Special legs.
And also...
Is Taylor Swift known for legs?
And also,
I don't know.
I don't know, but the guy who named it... Is he an avid Swiftie, as he calls himself.
Oh, okay. So maybe the guy just liked Taylor Swift.
He keeps a couple of her CDs in his car and he cycles through. His favorite songs are New Romantics and Betty.
Wow. Okay, the deep cuts. Good for him.
So there you go.
Cool. Next topic, Dave.
That's it, huh? All right.
Yeah.
That's it.
There's a new millipede named after Taylor Swift. I don't know what else we could do with that.
He seems so defeated.
I know. I thought that you were a big fan of, you know.
Right, but I mean, okay. What else? What else?
I thought you might be excited about that story. Apparently,
I'm very happy for both the millipede and Taylor Swift.
Well,
I just don't know where I'm supposed to take that conversation.
Well, our next, you know, when Michael is feeling a little under the weather, he just is a little bit angrier than usual.
You think
okay,
he's touchy.
Dave, what kind of conversation would you like to have had about the Taylor Swift millipede?
I'm just noticing that.
What are your three favorite millipedes, fellas?
He's just.
Oh! Finally! Finally! It's been so long since.
It really freaks me out.
I have to say, I've been bummed that Rich hasn't gotten up out of his chair in a while. So, all right.
Welcome back. All right.
Yeah. It had to be natural.
Our next story.
Oh, yeah. I don't want you to be anything other than yourself.
Thank you.
Our next story. If you thought that the millipede story had nothing to talk about, wait till this one comes. Dateline Detroit. Uh-huh. All right. Uh-huh. A river otter caught on camera taking a swim in the Detroit River is the first of its species to be documented in the Detroit River in over 100 years.
Wow. Otters in Detroit, that was actually the first name of this podcast, but it was rejected by, you know what, Dave's kind of more of a bear than an otter anyway,
sure.
So it wouldn't have been accurate.
Yeah.
This was actually surprisingly big news. I saw this all over the place. I guess
really?
I guess otters haven't been in the Detroit River for so long because it's been such an environmental disaster. So this
Correct.
This is showing that nature's healing.
Correct. It says here that Eric St. Marie, a PhD marine ecology student at the University of Windsor, posted a video on Twitter showing that the otter that he spotted.
I just framed our otter there.
Okay. And so a scientist based in Detroit saw the Twitter footage and confirmed the animal was a river otter.
Right.
He said otters were common in the river, in the Detroit River, until fur traders and pollution eliminated the species from the region in the early 1900s.
So my question is this a lone otter? Like, did he leave his friends and family to be the only otter in the Detroit River? Or if you see one otter, does that mean that there's more?
Otter gone rogue, Dave?
He
says that river otters have been reintroduced into other bodies of water in the region, and the sighting in the Detroit River is a sign that environmental efforts to clean up the river have been successful.
Good.
Nice. That's beautiful.
He says that this is a sign of hope.
Right.
This means that our pollution prevention and our other pollution control programs, they do work.
I would imagine these otters would stay north, though, because once you start getting to, like, Zug Island and south of that, it's a disaster.
Oh,
so
he said this is one of the single most remarkable ecological recovery stories in North America, and it's in our own backyard here in Detroit.
Beautiful.
See, now that guy knows how to sell an animal story.
I mean, come on.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
I've never
Are
been
you guys
so...
excited about this?
Oh, my gosh. I am.
Are
I
you
am...
heading down to the River Rock right after this show to go see if you can find an otter?
No. I feel like we should maybe let the otters have some time to settle in before going out to meet them.
It's a symbol of hope and progress.
Yeah. Very good. You got the train station being rebuilt, and now the otters are back in the Detroit River. Dave, next topic.
My goodness.
Perfect. All right. Did you guys know that today is World Password Day?
Wow. Snuck up on me.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I choose to celebrate privately.
Right.
Yes. Apparently,
you know, I did notice a bunch of National Password Day cards at Hallmark.
Did you?
Earlier,
They were all out when I went to get mine.
Oh, yeah.
So,
if you wait till last second, you're screwed.
Mark Burnett, a computer security researcher, suggested in his 2005 book, Perfect Passwords, that people should choose an annual password day to update their passwords for email and other important services.
Do you have the ISBN number on that so I can look it up in the card catalog?
I do not have the card catalog.
So
the Dewey Decimal System.
What's interesting, though, is there anything that's more annoying than trying to update a password?
No. For the most part, the only person passwords lock out of my accounts is myself.
Right.
Yeah. Because it never lets you, like, it never lets you use the same password you've used the last three times. By the time I actually get a password that works, it's usually a rage password that I can't remember.
It has to be 14 characters.
Right.
Plus a special character.
Now, you used this one 7 passwords in 3 years ago.
Right. We remember.
Yeah.
Now, are you guys one that likes to use the same password for multiple things so you don't have to try to remember everything?
Absolutely.
Do you think that's safe, or is that not safe?
Well, here's the thing, Dave. I'm very broke and boring, so I'm not worried about anybody breaking into any of my stuff.
How many passwords would you say you have to have, like in a day? How many do you use?
A lot. Although most of my stuff
are they mostly work related though?
Mostly work related, but also on my phone, a lot of it is you show your face and it lets you in that way. So
right. Face recognition.
And then if someone's trying to steal your identity, then they'll cut off your face.
Did you guys ever have trouble when you were wearing the mask a lot during COVID?
Yes.
The face recognition thing. That used to annoy me so much.
I don't think own anything high tech enough for face recognition.
Not to mention the fact that they tried to sell the face masks that would work with face recognition.
Did they charge more for
them? I never ordered them, so I don't know if they worked or not.
Yeah, I would say that. Do you guys do this thing where, like, let's say someone needs to log into something and they need you to tell them their password to someone you can trust? I don't know if you guys are like this, but for the most part, I can't tell you my password. I have to, like, sit down and, like, feel it as I type it.
Oh, muscle memory.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I can't be like, okay, maybe it's this, maybe it's this. I would have to actually sit down in front of whatever it is and, like, type in and whatever the Lord channels through me, that's my password.
So if you haven't changed your passwords today, go ahead and do it. Other holidays and observances today... include
May 5th.
Yeah, Cinco de Mayo, obviously, is the big one.
Yes.
Cartoonist Day.
Wow.
Museum Lovers Day.
Wow.
National Oyster Day.
Oh.
National Hoagie Day.
Oh.
Hand Hygiene Day. Oh. And International Midwives Day.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So there you go.
Too many people to buy presents for.
Yes.
That's why I go broke this time of year, Dave. Oh.
Yes.
Next topic, speaking of present ideas.
So, we had the Music Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Let's move over to the World Video Game Hall of Fame, as we've had new inductees into that. Also includes
Millipede.
Yes, Millipede is not included.
It all ties together.
Dance Dance Revolution.
Yes, okay. DDR.
The Legend of Zelda.
Wow, I would have thought Legend of Zelda would be one of the OGs.
It is, Arcaria of Time. This is like a different part of the part.
Yeah,
of it.
Okay.
And then. I don't even never heard of this game, Sid Meier's Civilization. I never heard of this game ever, which is apparently one of the first Sims games ever.
Sounds like a textbook.
But the big one that got in,
Family Finances,
Miss Pac-Man.
Oh, Miss Pac-Man.
Oh, finally.
Miss Pac-Man.
Wow.
Finally.
More than 40 years after coming on the scene.
And I'm sure Mr. Pac-Man just walked right in.
Pac-Man was in the inaugural class of 2015. Miss Pac-Man released in 1981.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And after selling like over 125,000 of these early, it became one of the best-selling arcade games of all time.
Dave, is this from the Strong Museum of Play?
It might be.
I'm trying to find a list of games that were inducted before Zelda. I would think Zelda would have been the first class. Well, I would have thought the first class would be... Mario, or as your elderly, out of touch relatives would call it, Super Mario.
He's not saying,
but no, but of course, no. That Zelda, that wasn't the original Zelda.
Oh, it's not
Arcadia of Time.
Oh,
Orica of Time.
I thought you were just having a stroke. I didn't know what you.
It
was
a different. Now there were other finalists that were that didn't make it in this year, including Assassin's Creed, which is a great game.
Mm-hmm.
Candy Crush Saga.
Oh, no.
Wow.
All right. Minesweeper. All right. NBA Jam, which is a great game from back in the
one
day.
One of my favorites.
Minesweeper.
Right. Resident Evil. How's Resident Evil not in?
Right.
It's one of the greatest games ever.
It was a trendsetter.
I'd put that in over Sid Meier's Civilization.
Yes. Right. Sid Meier's Civilization.
Sid Meier's Syphilis.
Never even heard of this game.
That'd be a fun game.
But, I mean, I read they later on this. Let me talk about Sid Meier's.
I believe your research.
Sid Meier's Civilization, released in 1991, was recognized as an influential strategy game. The game, which invited players to develop their own empires, launched a series of successor games, including Civilization Beyond Earth and Civilization 6. I never heard of any of these games.
I was going to say, if it was a precursor to SimCity, just put SimCity in there. That one I've heard of.
The addictive nature of the game, which creator Sid Meier himself called one more turn quality. What does that even mean?
I think that means like it's like a book you can't put down. You want to stop playing, but you need
stay
you want to
up into the wee hours of the night.
Right,
and
you want to
take
one more turn.
Unlimited choices that prevented repetitive gameplay. Okay.
So read me the other ones that didn't get in again, Dave.
The other ones that did not get in.
Resident Evil, which was a class. Oh, NBA Jam.
NBA Jam was great.
That's got to go in next year.
I mean,
for sure.
Assassin's Creed's good.
Yeah.
I forgot about Parappa the Rapper.
I got both Parappa the Rapper and Resident Evil for the for Christmas the same year. That's the year we got our PlayStation.
You know what else didn't make the cut? Words with Friends.
What about Yo Noid? That in there?
What about Cool Spot? It was the video game about that thing from 7-Up.
Ooh. What about Paperboy? Remember that?
Paperboy was solid. What about Burger Time?
Well,
come on.
I got to tell you.
Burger Time. I mean, come on.
This website's not very user friendly. I just want a list of the inducted games that I got to click through a whole bunch of crap.
I want to play Burger Time with you, Dave. I think that'd be fun. Yeah, playing Burger Time.
Burger Time's a solid game.
I play it with you.
Or game you would love?
I just want to be near you. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
So Grand Theft Auto 3 is in. I don't know if Grand Theft Auto 1 and 2 are in the Hall
of
Fame.
Any of the GTA games are
right.
Yeah. But there was an old game called the Golden Nugget Casino for the original PlayStation.
Wow.
That's where it all went sideways for Dave.
In which if you went to story mode and got far enough and won enough money, there were special cameos by Adam West.
Holy shit.
And there was a Batcave underneath the casino.
Wow.
And he would come on the screen and give you different challenges. It was the coolest thing ever.
It's like that guy in Mortal Kombat that goes whoop-dee and then you fight Reptile.
I mean, no, but this was like he would tell you you have to make it to this next level and you could see he was down in a cave and it was supposed to be underneath the casino. It was cool.
That game must have been owned by DC Comics or something to have that franchise woven.
I was going to say their merchandising has come a long way.
But it was cool. I remember that game. But you're right. That could have. I don't know what you mean by where it all went sideways. But
That's where your gambling addiction.
I would not say it's an addiction.
Well, Dave, what people with addictions like.
You know,
say.
I would say that
it's not an addiction until you lose it all.
I would say it is as long as you don't bet more than you can afford.
Right.
Then
it
is just something fun to do.
I've benefited supremely by your.
I know you have
your knowledge.
So you want me to? You need me to continue?
Look, we have all benefited from Dave's pain.
Yes.
And I don't intend.
I thrive on it.
Yeah, I don't intend to stop that anytime soon. But we are out of time. So thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Yeah.